Wednesday, the 21st of February. The prep tip of the day is to inspect all your foot gear, make sure it's ready for spring and summer activities. If you don't have merino wool socks, I suggest you get them. I use them year-round, whether it's 10 below zero or 110 degrees. My feet stay nice and comfortable. We have with us my friend Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. Excellent one, sometimes two articles written a week there. And his six books for sale at amazon.com. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, we already have our first caller from about six time zones away. We got Thomas in Germany. Good morning, Thomas.
Greetings. Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Nyquist, I'd like to ask about the enemy strategy of civil war or splitting up the U.S. Mr. Wang of Luda Media mentioned a disruption attack in your interview with him. And he continued there that these measures would bring strategic victory by pushing the U.S. into anarchy. Now, we know some patriots, they're actually looking forward to a red and a blue America. But my question, is this split actually something that cannot be afforded militarily, given that an already fighting and aggressive Russia and China are just waiting for their chance to attack? Or is there actually great strategic strength in having an independent red America that is alert to the enemy and willing to fight for liberty, capitalism, and God?
The Russians and the Chinese believe in a combination play. And, of course, what is meant by that? World War III, because it involves nuclear weapons, you have to try to neutralize the enemy's ability to respond. And a civil war and an attack within the U.S. homeland is your best opportunity, because if you can make the attack seem like it's native to American politics, that it comes out of American politics, that it's not an attack from Russia or China, then there's not going to be a nuclear response. And if in the midst of that civil war, the nukes are basically lose their ability to be launched, like let's say you're fighting over the nuclear weapons and they get damaged or the whole command and control system collapses, then the opportunity exists for an attack. And I think that's the other thing is in a civil war combined with disruption attacks, people don't realize who's disrupting the infrastructure. They think that the disruptions could be part of the civil war. So people don't recognize that it's sabotage from abroad. If the U.S. economy collapses, and this is something Colonel Lunev was explained to me, if the U.S. economy collapses, then we won't be able to maintain our Navy or our nuclear forces because it's very expensive. You know, between 1940 and 1997, the United States spent the equivalent, I think, in 1997 dollars of $10 billion. $10 trillion on nuclear weapons, on maintaining it. If your economy collapses, and building it, if your economy collapses, you may lose your nuclear capability in the midst of a civil war and an economic collapse. So that's kind of why this is focused on America. And you hear right now, you hear Russian commentators saying, oh yeah, there's going to be a world war, only in North America it's going to be a civil war in the United States.
Well, that's the hidden danger, right? That you are then militarily very weak in that civil war.
Yeah, I mean it's a divide and conquer kind of attack, and you can see how the left and the right, elements on the left and the right, are being primed for it right now, and it would be in this situation, it's the center right and center left that are likely to be the obstacle to making it come off. And one of the things, I'm going to be interviewing Mr. Luda again on Friday, that he emphasized was that they're very nervous in China about picking the right moment, because if they, you know, they've got one shot at this, and if they blow it, if it doesn't work, if they don't, it doesn't take us down, they'll likely end up in a war with us.
in which we realize they're trying to wipe us out. And that how do you, once you realize someone, it's like someone's trying to kill you, and you know they're trying to kill you, and it's sort of like, well, what do you do when someone's trying to kill you? Do you have to kill them first? Are you not going to make an agreement with them, because they might use the agreement to kill you? So that's the difficulty that China, and in fact China and Russia, are trying to adjust their trading systems for this moment, because once this attack on the U.S. happens, there won't be any trading with the U.S. And so they want to make sure their economies are able to sustain themselves without any necessary linkages to the U.S. economy.
Then it all fits together.
Yeah,
surprisingly, the new BRICS member, Ethiopia, the third world country in Africa, they have actually, as the first country on Earth, they actually have banned the import of new petrol and diesel cars. So they're going full electric. And I think it is a symbolic gesture within BRICS to China, and kind of a sacrifice for the alliance. But it's good to realize such a weird gesture, and yeah, to interpret it as a gesture of the enemy, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is a tipping of the hat to China, because China is the one that has all that lithium to make batteries with, and so it's a saying. It's sort of almost jumping up and down, saying, "Yeah, we'll be dependent on you for cars." And of course, some of these African countries are really desperate to have the attention of a major power to help them win their local conflicts.
Thank you. That's it for today. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right, Thomas, thank you for your call. Well, we're off to quite a start here this morning, aren't we, Jeff?
Yeah, well, it's the problem is that we have Russia and China are aligned together. They've been working together since before the Cold War ended, according to defector testimony. And they appear to have had a very interesting long-range strategy to try to come after us, and most Americans haven't woken up to it yet.
Okay, well, moving on from there, the war in Ukraine enters its third year in a couple of days, doesn't it?
Yeah, in a few days, in a week from today, I think it will be 1 year.
2 years, starting the third.
I mean, two years, right?
Right. Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. So.
Yeah.
What's your prognostication on the current status of that war, sir?
Well, the Russians are sorry that the war started on the 24th. Of February in 2019. I guess today's the 21st. So in 3 days, it will be
right.
2 years.
Right.
The Ukrainians are withdrawing from Avdiivka, where the Russians have been attacking intensively for a couple months. And of course, the Russians, the reports I'm hearing is that the Ukrainians are low on artillery shells. And because of that, they've had to give ground, and the Russians have pushed around, trapped a couple of units. And so the whole idea is to extract the people and get out of there before more people get trapped. And so Ukraine now, we're seeing what happens when the U.S. does not supply artillery shells. And, you know, most of the artillery shells we supply really doesn't cost us anything, because we have to destroy obsolete artillery shells anyway. And we're using, from the bottom of our stockpile, we're using artillery shells that are older to begin with. So, and we have factories that we've built. A lot of the money designated for Ukraine actually goes to making American jobs and building factories here to build artillery ammunition and other weapons. So, and it also improves our military capability here at home. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Ukraine can defend when it doesn't have enough ammunition to stop Russian mass attacks. Because you can imagine how much artillery you have to expend when you have mass attacks coming and your attacker doesn't mind taking losses of human beings because they have so many.
Yep. Well, as the old saying goes, amateurs talk tactics, professionals talk logistics, don't they?
Yeah, and there's grand strategy too, which is important. But logistics is the key thing. I mean, in World War II, a division in combat used up 1,600 tons of supplies every day. And today it's much more because divisions have more firepower and use up more ammunition and more fuel because everything's motorized in most military formations today. So that all weighs. That all has to be freighted to the front for the unit. And this has been the big limit on the Russians. The Russians' logistical system depends on trains, and they only have had sufficient trucks to go 90 kilometers from a railhead on average per division. The motor element is just weaker than in a Western army. And so this has prevented them from having a blitzkrieg. They tried that at first, and they just outran their supply lines and got into trouble and lost the Battle of Kiev, for example. So in this, they're proceeding more methodically. And the Ukrainians, you know, it's become a World War I kind of artillery and infantry battle with drones performing the role. So I hope that this does not, you know, this doesn't become an erosion of the Ukrainian front, because if the Russian army reaches the borders of NATO, then we're going to have the possibility of Americans having to fight and die because we're obligated to defend Europe, the rest of Europe. It's as far as American security goes, Ukraine is a buffer between Russia and NATO. Russia does have a border with NATO up in the north with the Baltic states and Poland, but it's a very short border, and it's not a very good way to attack. They wouldn't engage there until they were through Ukraine. And as long as they're stuck in Ukraine, China is bereft of an ally in the Pacific, because I don't think Russia could support a war on two fronts. It couldn't. I don't think it could support operations in the Pacific, although I could be wrong.
Absolutely. Well, move on from there. Jeff, I was listening to an interview, a 60 Minutes interview with an American admiral in charge of the U.S. Navy in the Red Sea area. He says the U.S. Navy is being attacked for the first time in the manner in which it's being attacked since World War II. The Houthis using both these drones and these anti-ship missiles. And of course, so far our men have been successful in defending U.S. Navy ships. It's a very dicey situation, isn't it, sir?
Well, ships have to have anti-drone and anti-aircraft, anti-missile capabilities, which our ships do, thanks to the Reagan administration was big on increasing the anti-missile capability of our ships, and we've kept the technology has kept advancing. It's interesting. The Houthis are really just an extension of Iran. So this is Iran's attempt to control the waters coming out of the Suez Canal, the Red Sea, it's almost, you could say it's an experiment to see if you can drive naval forces away with the threat of drones and missiles. And of course, Iran has the capacity to manufacture anti-ship drones. And Iran is getting anti-ship missiles from Russia and China, and I believe they manufacture their own. And, you know, anti-ship missiles are extremely dangerous. Look at what happened to the Russian flagship of the Black Sea Fleet, the Moskva. It was sunk I believe it was a Neptune anti-ship missile, which is an older anti-ship missile from the Cold War. It was a Soviet anti-ship missile fired by the Ukrainians, which has been, the Ukrainians did update it, upgrade it. His missiles, you know, they can get upgraded and get better electronics and targeting. But a heavy cruiser, a Russian heavy cruiser, can be sunk with an anti-ship missile, you can imagine the risk to the U.S. ships in the Red Sea and in throughout the Middle East, if anti-ship missiles can be launched. You get to the Persian Gulf, the Iranians have quite a large number of anti-ship missiles down there in the Persian Gulf. And if they feel that the results are satisfactory, they might just decide to close the Strait of Hormuz, which has always been their threat, to close the Strait of Hormuz. And if they do that, they're strangling Japan, South Korea, and Europe of oil. Because those countries in Australia, those countries are dependent on oil from the Middle East, also India. So, although India has been getting its oil from Russia lately. So, it's kind of scary. Because if you can control the sea lanes with missiles, you don't need an expensive navy.
Well, U.S. Navy has been attacking the launch sites for these drones and these missiles, haven't they, sir?
There's been counterattacks, but the problem with some of these systems are mobile. Some of these anti-ship missile systems are mobile, and like the Neptune system in Ukraine, they can move them around on trucks. So you really, how do you find a truck that can be camouflaged, it can be hidden in a tunnel? How do you find it to kill it? It's not like a warship that's a very big target. And so it's not an even match in that regard. You remember the first Gulf War when U.S. intelligence thought Saddam Hussein had 70 Scuds, mobile Scuds? Those were his ballistic missiles that were on giant carriers. Well, it turned out our satellite intelligence wasn't finding them. He had over 700 Scuds, not 70. So when we destroyed a few of them, we thought that we had basically gotten rid of most of them. We hadn't even dinged him. And so he started launching them on Saudi Arabia and Israel. If you recall, that was back in the, 30-plus years ago, the first Gulf War. So this is a problem, that things can be hidden in the terrain. And so a ship out on the ocean, it's completely visible. You can't hide a ship in the ocean.
No, it's, and with the modern technology, you absolutely can't do that, can you?
No.
Okay. All right. Any thoughts on China and Taiwan, sir, if you have any updates?
Well, the Chinese are continuing to build up, and of course, there's concern about North Korea doing something. And of course, Mr. Wang, I'm going to talk to him some more. But Mr. Wang believes that what they're really waiting for is this, he called it a Ho Chi Minh Trail running into Mexico to the U.S. border, that the Chinese can stuff, military units, commandos, terrorists, whatever, up that Ho Chi Minh Trail and cross into the U.S. border, across that open border. And they've been doing that, apparently, and that's what he says. And there, what he also told
me
was,
have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Do Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. If you're tired of being tired, check out the Energy Cleaner. Arthritis pain, joint pain got you down, check out the Energy Cleaner. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on Energy Cleaner. Energy Cleaners and the pads that go with them are at my website at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at amazon.com. And Jeff, how can people subscribe to your website, please? Jeff, how can people subscribe to your website? Okay, apparently Jeff is not back yet, and hopefully he'll be back in a moment and let us know how people can subscribe to his website. The call number is 512-248-8252. Jeff, are you back, sir?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, and how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button below every article or video.
Outstanding, and it's simple and quick. Okay, well, you're going to be back in touch with your China connection in a few days, and maybe you'll have another update for us next week, sir.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, that sounds good. The culture war, we talk about this occasionally, the Marxists behind the culture war and attempting to change our American society in very disastrous ways, having boys going to the girls' locker room and assorted such things. they're having a lot of success in that area, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they've had success at this, because it's not just, that's just an extreme form of it, but it's throughout our culture. They've corrupted us with these Marxist originated ideas. And the purpose is, Karl Marx in his early writings basically said, look, we need to destroy the family. We need to destroy belief in God. We need to destroy the culture. And that paves right. the way to the revolution.
That's right. And some of our most basic and foundational institutions, like the Boy Scouts, for example, we now have adult men who are sexually attracted to boys becoming scout leaders with the approval of the analog called the Boy Scouts of America, they're now the Scouts. We also have teenage girls in the Boy Scouts. Handsome young men, attractive young ladies going into the woods for a fun-filled weekend. What could possibly go wrong?
So a girl can be a Boy Scout?
Yeah, they no longer call it the Boy Scouts of America. They just call them the Scouts.
And the organization is helpless to stop this? What, have they been sued?
I don't know about lawsuits, but one-third of all the Boy Scouts left in one day. That would be the Mormons. The Mormons were real big into the scouting culture. And they all left in one day, shortly after these things came into effect.
Well, that's understandable.
Yes, it is. Yeah. There's another outfit called the Royal Rangers, which basically duplicates the what the Scouts used to do while maintaining traditional values. That's a pretty good thing, I think. And I would suggest people look at the Royal Rangers instead of the Boy Scouts or the Scouts, as they now call them.
Hmm.
Anyway, so, Jeff, yeah. you make your own observations about the culture war. What are some of your observations?
About the culture war?
Yes, sir.
Well, I think just in terms of basic attitudes, you remember the 1960s before everything started to change. There were certain folkways that were very American that people followed, you know. It's funny, on YouTube, there's old movies that you can watch for free from the 1930s and 40s, right, old black right. and whites. And it's interesting to watch those movies, because in those movies, men are men and women are women. There's not this ambiguity or this crossing over. And they behave in ways that are natural to their sex, that are given. And what's happened with this cultural Marxism is that they claim that sex, or rather gender, as they call it, is a social construction. It's artificial, they claim.
Hold on, we got a bomb there. Break. We got to call it. Hold. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. TOM at republicbroadcasting.org. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Fix bayonets.
Site is thelibertyman.com. My COVID-19 panel has more than 200 articles and videos, including articles and videos by Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer. He says in no uncertain terms that all the COVID vaccinations are meant to kill and hurt people. They're not side effects. They're the direct intended effects. Proxit will help you achieve your goals at my website, such as the energy cleaner. If you have issues with pain, issues with sleep, check out the Energy Cleaner at my website. Keep in mind that I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on the Energy Cleaner. My toll-free hour line, if you don't want to give out your credit card online, I understand that. My toll-free hour line 24 hours a day is 800-592-9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. His book for sale at Amazon. Jeff, we've got a call on hold here. We've got John in Texas. Morning, John.
Hello, I have a question concerning rumors of someone I know just kind of what we call fear porn going out on the internet, so that China is going to attack Taiwan at the beginning of the New Year celebration on February the 24th of this year.
I don't see any indications of that. There would be something I would have heard.
Okay, and also I watched yours and several other assessments of the interview with Putin with ex-Fox News journalist. What's his name?
Carlson, Make, Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
He got completely dominated. Also, he wasn't. He seemed to get the whole thing was a total was a diatribe, and it seemed to be deflection. Is all of his maneuvers the Putin seemed to be trying to do was to deflect people from the relevant issues, going into a lot of his, like, he's trying to shape it as an act, as a development of Russian history and not a development of the machinations and strategy of a supranational cult, which is not really Russian in origin and really isn't, and only uses nationalism as a tool to its end. Is that correct?
In fact, which part of what you said is correct. I think that Putin was talking over the heads of Americans. He was talking to Europe. He was talking to Germany. For example, his statement that Poland had, quote unquote, forced Hitler to attack. People in Germany were thrilled at this, especially the AfD party, the right, which is already pro-Putin. And a lot of Germans, you know, are tired of feeling guilty about World War II, and he gave them emotional relief, can you say? Which is a strategically significant. Of course, remember, he's a German expert. He speaks fluent German, Putin does. And that was really interesting. He's also, of course, supporting Russians who believe in a more patriotic, nationalistic concept of Russia. And he also made the statement, if you listen carefully, he made a Marxist-Leninist affirmation of faith. Because when Carlson was pushing him on him being a Christian, he said, oh, I believe in the laws of history. That's a very specific term in Marxism-Leninism, which refers to the historical dialectic of advancing from primitive communism through slavery and feudalism and capitalism to advanced communism. So he was pretty much covering the bases of the people he wanted to give a wink to, and say, "Look, I'm on your side," and it's very significant because winning over Germany has been a major goal of Moscow for decades. If they can win over Germany, they can break NATO, they can force the U.S. out of Europe, possibly. And then they can own the continent, which is really their objective, to dominate Europe.
Well, Lenin made that the central part of his long-term strategy since he took over, since Brest-Litovsk or even before.
Well, taking over was actually a short-term strategy. If you look at the Polish-Soviet War, he was trying to march to Berlin. And he got stopped in Warsaw back in what was it, 1919?
The French documentary Hitler Stalin Dangerous Liaison. They discuss this, and so does Viktor Suvorov.
Yes,
this was the Polish. He tried to take back every part. Putin wanted to restore the boundaries of Russia's 1914 boundaries. That's what Lenin tried to do after the Civil War, but he was going to use Poland as an antechamber against Germany, because if you bring Germany down, he felt it would bring the whole German European edifice would collapse with it.
Well, of course, Germany had just lost World War I, and they were disarmed largely because of what was going on in the Versailles Treaty. So Germany was wide open if they could get past the Polish army. And they didn't get past it. They got stopped and rather badly beaten. So it was, and in fact, I did an interview last week with Andrei Navrozov, who was talking about this, and he said that Pilsudski, the Polish general that defeated the Soviets at that battle, was debating whether he should advance into Russia, and the white generals, who desperately needed the help, did not want help from Poland, because Poland had been an enemy of Russia centuries before and had been under a Russian rule for more than 100 years, and went against their pride as Russians. So they could have maybe gone after Lenin then, they blew it.
They did push them back to Minsk almost. But, in fact, the eastern territories that were given to Russia in the Nazi-Soviet pact, those were secured by the Poles by defeating the Russians in their attempt to take over Poland. They drew them back,
Ukraine,
and they wrote
was
good
under Poland in between the world wars. You know, the city of Lviv, which is the westernmost large Ukrainian city, was ruled by Poland in the 20s and the 30s. Up to the point that the country was partitioned between Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union in 1939. Yep.
How much of it was taken over because of their defeat of Russia. But I know that the eastern territories of Poland that existed in 1939 had been taken back after 1939. And by driving, and when they drove the Russians back to the region of Minsk in 1921.
At the end of World War II, the Russians put the border roughly, not entirely, partly back. They took Western Ukraine back for themselves, which is why they didn't give Lviv and Western Poland back. Western Ukraine back to Poland, but they also gave East Prussia. Except for the city of Königsberg, which they kept and is to this day known as the Kaliningrad. It's a Russian salient in what used to be Germany on the Baltic Sea. They gave East Prussia to the Poles. So Poland got a huge chunk of German territory as compensation.
Mm-hmm. And they also gave them Pomerania, Posen, and Silesia. But they did give them a couple of small areas back. They took them 39, I think, in the east, didn't they?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the Soviet Union created the borders. You know, they were all adjusted. The borders of most of the countries were created in 1945. In terms of at the end of World War II, that's what we're really. We're in a post-World War II dispensation in terms of where the borders were drawn. And right now Putin is trying to redraw those borders.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the first attempt to redraw the borders of Europe since then. Of course, the Soviet Union broke up in 91, but those independent republics had been recognized within the Soviet Union of being independent nations. But then they became actual de facto independent nations. And that's one of the things Moscow is trying to undo. They're trying to claim these are really ours, and they don't get to be independent.
Mm-hmm. But so, and how many people have fallen for it?
Fallen for what exactly?
Smooth talk.
Oh, I think a lot of people, I think it was extremely successful from what I can gauge. I had a Ukrainian friend who wrote an article on a conservative website about all the factual errors and problems with what Putin was saying in his interview with Tucker Carlson, and he got like 98 responses, hateful responses. On a website that, you know, a lot of people visit, but that's a lot of responses, you know. So I think Tucker Carlson lent his credibility and his, the people have faith in his goodness, he lent that to Putin. And then on Monday, Tucker Carlson made a worse mistake. He said, when someone asked him, why didn't you talk about Navalny and the political prisoners in Russia? He said, oh, everybody's talking about that. I wanted to ask him about something different. And besides, all leaders kill people, is what he said. And they have to kill people. And that's why I'd never be a leader. But unfortunately, I think that Carlson compromised himself and became an accessory before the fact, because 4 days after he made that statement, Navalny died in prison in above the Arctic Circle in Russia. And I think it's pretty safe to say he was poisoned. His death was, the timing of his death was not an accident. I think that in a way Tucker Carlson gave cover to Putin, so Putin had the nerve to do this. Since Putin had such a wave of popularity from the people that he wanted it from, he felt, okay, I might lose some people by doing this, but let's get rid of Navalny now, who he was afraid to try to finish off since Navalny went back into prison and came back. So it's you know, people will debate this, but look, if Hitler was contemplating the Holocaust and you went over there and you gave him all this good publicity and you basically, somebody said, well, why don't you ask him about the Jews? And you said, oh, the Jews don't matter. And you were massively popular and everybody, yeah, the Jews don't matter. And then he started the Holocaust. Would that make you guilty as a complicit in some way? It's an interesting question.
I
think journalists are very powerful.
They are. John, we need to move on here. Our next caller is JP in Chicago. Good morning, JP.
Well, great show, John and Jeff. And I got to say, well-rounded today, starting with Bill with the Islam studies. I thought I knew a lot about Islam, but it confirmed my belief that Muhammad was a gangster, you know. And just like you know, a lot of these groups start as, you know, just liars and thieves, you know. Stalin, communism is another one. And, Jeff, I agree with you about 95% of what you have to say about communism. I've seen it firsthand. I've also been a subscriber of Epoch Times for a number of years. Great articles in there. But one question I got about Putin, as an exchange student in Germany, I was aware that he was running the KGB in East Berlin for a long time, and his MO is poisoning. So I agree with you on the fact that Navalny and Prigozhin, probably the head of the Wagner Group, was taken out by Putin, because that's his MO, and that's 50 years KGB, and is obvious on there. But the actual question I got is about what Tucker said recently in an interview afterwards, is that back in World War One, when the Bolsheviks were taking over, the bourgeois were in the movie theaters watching movies, and they were celebrating, having good times. But the people were out in the street burning things down. And he said, that reminds me of Black Lives Matter and Antifa, what happened in 2020. So I kind of agree with Tucker on that point. What do you think about that, Jeff, in terms of the Bolsheviks, the cultural Marxism, and using Black Lives Matter and Antifa to take over? And if it was a commie coup, it definitely was a Kazarian coup. So what are your comments on that, Jeff?
Well, I obviously, Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. The two of the leading organizers and leaders admitted to being Chinese-trained communists, you know, trained by Chinese Marxists. So, and as far as Antifa, it originated in Germany during the Weimar Republic, and it was a communist, you know, organization. So, these organizations are communist.
Oh, yeah. One other thing, too, you mentioned the drones. I've been watching a lot of, a good friend of mine was an NSA guy. He did signals intelligence. And in the old days, they used to spy on the Russians. Well, after 2001, with the NDA and Patriot Act, they turned everything inside. So a lot of what Snowden was saying was true. But, I mean, if we have Bolsheviks in power and the FBI, for example, high-level positions, and they're spying on Americans, I think that's a big trouble, you know, problem we have going ahead. But there's also a bill that was passed recently. I don't know if you guys are aware. Excuse me. It's FCC November 23 bill to prevent discrimination. So they're actively, like, you can't say certain things on the internet, and they're just, the FCC's going right after people and shutting them down. So I think that's another Bolshevik tactic, is to shut people up and keep them distracted. And I see that playing out here in Chicago with our progressive mayor, for example. He's getting rid of the shot clock, which is the only thing. It's a shot spotter. It's a sonar system they use in Afghanistan and Iraq. He's getting rid of it this year. Oh. So it's going to be the Wild Wild West, thanks to Bolsheviks.
Anything else, JP?
That's it. Take care, guys. Have a good week.
Okay. Wrap this up after the break. We'll be right back.
to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tahi Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM. That's where you meet it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question. The only question that matters. Who are you?
All right, we're back. Well, Jeff, you've got about 2.5 minutes here, sir, to make your most important points and information for this week, sir.
Yeah, I guess the thing that's hard to understand is the fact that the Russian and Chinese espionage services, their fifth column, they don't just use the left. They infiltrate the right as well. So we have to be vigilant for narratives and agents of influence coming from both sides, from the left and the right. And the first caller, Thomas from Germany, was asking about civil war. And it is the KGB colonel, Igor Panarin, who's starting in 1991, I think, was started writing and talking about a civil war in the U.S. He was actually given an assignment to study and understand this possibility. And so he stuck with this for 30 years And you see him pop up on Western media now and then. You can find YouTube videos where he describes this breaking up of America through a civil war. And, of course, it would mean that there would be, you know, the U.S. would be sort of divided up between China and Russia and other countries in these different regions. So it would be the end of the United States if we had a civil war. And they're very clear on this. And the Chinese behind the scenes are talking about this too. It's not just the Russians. They want to destroy America. America is the number one target because if the United States is no longer a big power and is no longer willing to defend the other countries in the Western world and Japan and South Korea and Australia, if we're not no longer willing to defend, those countries don't have the power to defend. They don't have the kind of nuclear arsenal to defend. And that would mean the world would be ruled by Russia. And at a certain point, if the U.S. just was by itself and had no allies against the rest of the world, how could we survive against all those other continents filled with people? And they would strangle our trade, and they would collapse our economy, and they would come after us. So we have to maintain these other countries for our own security. People say, why don't we need to defend these people? It's because they're also defending us in a way, all these little countries, because it's the sum of all the countries that want to resist dominance of Russia and China.
Well, we're truly in the beginnings of worldwide conflict here, aren't we, sir?
Well, that's what Russian commentators and Chinese commentators have been making the statement for at least 2-3 years now. We've heard this in Russian, you know, you go back to some of the Chinese military publications, and they've been saying it.
Yeah. Jeff, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We'll see you next week. All right, that's it for today. Get your medical supplies, your engine cleaning, essential oils. Now while you can, your firearms, ammunition, never ever get your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Carpenter County, Missouri, the large beautiful state of Missouri, even larger beautiful state of Texas. Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.